You're listening to episode number 13 of the podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Today, I bring you another fantastic guest in this episode. We are going to be looking at the mental health area again on Twitch specifically, but in content creation as a whole. It seems there is a new wave of content creators sprouting up that are advocating mental health and really opening mental health up. And today we are speaking with another one. All that and more coming up. Find out how you can do it yourself. All that and more, guys, coming right up. I hope you enjoy.
You are listening to the Content Experience Podcast, the podcast for those wanting to learn more about all aspects of content creation and streaming. Each week we sit down with some of your favourite streamers to get to know the story behind the stream and what advice they would give to help build your dream career in content creation. All this with your host, taco lover, sci-fi geek and award-winning tap dancer, the Mike James.
So, welcome everybody. Introducing our guest today is one awesome streamer, and he's going to go ahead and tell us all about himself. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name's GoOperatives. It's the same as cooperative with a G. And I'm a Twitch-partnered broadcaster, but I also do YouTube content and content on Instagram. I do several podcasts, actually. The whole premise for all of the content that I produce is content that connects you with your own mental health and gives you education, understanding, and hopefully insight. So that's what I do on the internet. It's my full-time job. So,
I mean, you've covered like a huge array of like different platforms, and we're gonna get in depth with all of them. But let's just like talk a little bit about how you actually got into sort of content creation in general. Like, was this like something that just was like an instant you discovered it and you fell in love, or have you been like gaming on Twitch for many years and you decided to go into a niche? Like, how did you come across the position that you're in now?
It's a pretty lengthy story, but the long and short of it is, so as a 15, 16 year old, I was a skateboarder. I was in high school, but my hobby, my great passion was I'd go to the skate park for 6 or 7 hours a day and I would skate with my friends. And being part of that skate culture meant like watching skate videos. And so slowly I started to accumulate camera gear and equipment to film my friends while we were all skateboarding and, you know, film them doing tricks and make edits and montages. And I slowly started to fall in love with being, because I was good at it, but I wasn't as good as my friends. Like, they took off and I was like, tell you what, I'm going to be the guy that just like puts you guys on the internet because you should be out there. So, I ended up, I had this like a Canon T2i with like the fisheye lens, and had, you know, the camera set up, the mic and everything. And I eventually, after a few years, I think I was between 16 or 17, and started filming people skating. That was really great. That was awesome. I did that for several years, had a YouTube channel that became successful. It had like 5,000 subscribers, right? Which, at the time was like groundbreaking, is still pretty okay now, but I have friends that have like huge Twitch channels and huge, like, so it's different, but, so that was really fun. I ended up moving away. I moved to St. Louis and got a job at Best Buy and started becoming less into skating. My physical health wasn't super great. My knees were getting bad. So a friend and I started working at Best Buy, and we both loved the game Grumps, and we both loved like Markiplier and like just like those bigger like YouTube stars, but we didn't really know what to do with like YouTube and gaming. We both loved games. So we just started doing Let's Play videos on YouTube. That's when we learned how to use capture cards and record and edit in that style, and we did that for 2 years. We produced towards the last year of that creation, we did a video a day for a whole year, like one video a day. We had certain days where like this day was like one off Wednesday, so we would just do like random party games on Wednesdays, and then, you know, like Tuesday, Thursday was always like this story-based game, whatever it was. And so like we had this like cycle, that channel never went anywhere. We had like 500 subscribers, which is like 500 subscribers seems like a really cool idea. But over the course of 2 years with the amount of content we were cranking out, we weren't using social media. We didn't have a social media platform built for it. We weren't particularly engaging. We just thought like quantity was going to do the work for us. We ended up like not really having a story to tell, like no hook. We were just let's players. Like we thought we were hilarious, but that wasn't enough, right? So at some point we're both still working at Best Buy, and he's like, all right, man, well, it's been a good run, but I think I'm gonna go back to college while I'm here at Best Buy and go become a programmer. So I was like, okay, like I can't blame you. I'm mad, but I can't blame you. So, but I knew that because of skateboarding and because of doing this YouTube stuff, both with skateboarding and with content creation and gaming, that I wanted to be my own boss. Like I loved Best Buy. It's been my favorite job, but ultimately I wanted to be my own boss. I didn't want to just settle for a 9-to-5 for the rest of my life. It just didn't make sense to me. And the biggest thing I knew was that when I was a skateboarder and I was doing my own content, sure, I was filming my friends and stuff, but I was doing vlogs and I was putting my personality out there, and my personality really resonated with a lot of people. I think that's how I grew my channel the size in the way that I did, whereas our gaming channel didn't take off because it was a duo, but I didn't get to tell my story. Like we weren't really like people. Mm. We were just playing games, right? So I was like, all right, well, I can't do a YouTube channel on my own that's just gaming. Like, that's not, I'm not like PewDiePie. Like, that stuff doesn't really catch on anymore unless you're, like, very proficient. So I was like, all right, we'll try this live Twitch thing. I knew very little about Twitch, and I thought that it was just a fad. Irony. So I start on Twitch and I'm like, I'm going to be an Overwatch player, but I'm going to also like be me. I'm going to be a really good Overwatch player. So I play Overwatch for about a month. And I don't see a lot of growth. I'm having fun, but there's nobody in chat. So I start looking at metrics and like, all right, what games have I never played? Story-based games are what people like to watch. Competitive games are like, unless you're really good, they're not really the place to be. So I dove into Dark Souls. I played Dark Souls 1 for the first time and started really cultivating a community there. And so fast forward a lot of time, I play a lot of Warframe. I become a Warframe partner. I became a Twitch partner via Warframe. But my mental health, it wasn't still like the mission. So mental health obviously being the mission now, my mental health got really bad, last year, really, really bad. When I was 16, I was diagnosed, with bipolar disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. This is when I was still skating and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. I had attempted suicide before my diagnosis, which is why I got diagnosed. But I went to therapy for 6 months and then I just kind of ran from my mental health for several years. I didn't really address it. If I was having a bad day or was feeling anxious or anything like that, I just blamed my mental health, but I never worked through anything. So you can imagine streaming with like the numbers comparison and, you know, looking at like that guy is successful, but like, why am I not successful? And always like, you know, comparing ourselves, beating ourselves up, my mental health, my anxiety, the stress I was putting on myself to make Twitch a full-time job ate me alive. And I became very, very toxic. I became very resentful to people that were successful. And my community caught on to the fact that I was not healthy. And they quite blatantly called me out on it. I did a thing that nobody should ever do. And I asked my community to like, I was like, hey, here's an anonymous box for you to like, tell me how I could do better. And they tore me apart the way they should have. They splayed my guts. So the thing that I remember, the comment I remember the most was, hey, you're so worried about growing in numbers that you're not really appreciative of the people who are here, even if they're silent and lurking. You're always wanting more and you're never appreciating what you have. And it makes those of us that do show up feel like we just don't matter to you. It was pretty clear that my anxiety about the future and like really achieving those goals and also feeling like a failure had a really adverse effect on my community and the way that I interacted with my community. It became incredibly toxic for them to want to be there, which was this weird cycle because they would obviously leave and I'd feel worse and it kept perpetuating itself. So I decided I wanted to break the cycle and really start focusing on telling my story. So I started actually telling my story on Twitch, like the whole story. And people really started resonating with my anxiety. And the more I started to speak things out loud, the more I started to work through some of my issues, and the more that I started to build up self-confidence, and the more that I found that I wasn't the only one who felt the way I felt. So that's what started the mental health conversation for me. And now I haven't gone back to therapy. I can't afford that or medication. I just can't afford it. But that's, I would say that doing everything I did, researching, learning, talking to people and talking out loud has helped me to be in a 100% better spot now, mentally and emotionally. And now I try to, give that perspective and wisdom to other people if I can via the YouTube content, the podcast, the streams. That's why our stream is like a safe haven for people to pop in and talk about what they're going through, because I know that I needed that for myself too. So that's the whole story right there, start to finish, as of now anyway.
I mean, you mentioned like so many things that I want to sort of, we'll go over them one by one. I didn't want to interrupt because I wanted to listen to your story in its entirety before we sort of broke it down a little bit. Now, first of all, I wanted to say that me and you have a very, very similar background. I used to be a skater. I was always the guy that never learned to drop into a half pipe or a quarter pipe because I was too scared of falling off and hurting myself, because I had previously broken my leg in two places, not from skating, but that gave me like a bit of anxiety about falling off and hurting myself. And, sure. You know, causing pain to myself. And it just, I never learned to drop in. So all of like my other friends, some of them are actually, I'm still good friends with them, probably lurking right now. Were always the better skaters than me. And I used to do that when I was about 14, 13. And then I was coming to the end of school. And then I actually went into making a gaming channel on YouTube, where I did a Minecraft gaming channel when Minecraft was like all the thing, and I went by the name of L Thirlwell, and that channel, similar to yours, just short of 4k subs, and accumulated over a million views because I learned to understand, like trends. Things, and I made videos according to what I knew people were going to be searching for. For example, a game came out called Cubeworld. I don't know if you remember Cubeworld when it came out. The dev released it and then did some updates, and then he sort of ghosted everyone and buggered off, and he tweets about occasional updates even today, but he's never released any major update. And I knew that when that game came out, people were going to be searching for things like, how to level up fast, how to power level. And luckily I came across a position where somebody taught me how to power level, quote unquote, to basically level up super, super fast. So I made a video on it, titled it, and now that's got like 200,000 views or something, because I knew... I knew that if I made a video about power leveling and like correctly done all the search engine optimization and things, that it would end up at that position. So, and then like you, I was moderating for somebody else that was a full-time streamer on Twitch, and I discovered Twitch through them, through their YouTube channel. And then I've been moderated for them for years. And then I started doing Fortnite last year in February, and like you with Overwatch, I did Fortnite, except I did it for like 5 months and I streamed 6 nights a week, and I was like, I'm gonna be like the next big Fortnite streamer. You can imagine how that wake up call went.
The same as my Overwatch one did, I'm sure.
So obviously we have similar paths, but this isn't about me. I did pick up on something else that you discussed, and I know that I actually have seen bits of your stream, and I remember a stream not too long ago, you were talking about how, and you mentioned it again when you were just telling your story then, about how you were quite cynical of people that have made it, and you were sort of talking about like, you know, that they must have, you know, done something shady to get to where they are now. And the reason why I bring it up is because I have a very similar, or had a very similar mindset, especially last year when I was going through the phase of, you know, doing like joining support communities and things. It yes. developed a mindset where I thought, oh, the only way that you can make it on Twitch is by doing something shady like that. So I tried to replicate it, didn't go down very well. And I sort of, I didn't tarnish my name, obviously. I wasn't shit that shady. I wasn't an evil guy.
Right.
But right. obviously, I abandoned ship on the whole support community thing and just sort of wanted to focus on my own content and building up my own community around, you know, just being content creators and just, you know, being supportive, but not in a way of I'll support you, you support me, just like emotionally supporting each other.
Sure.
So I kind of stepped away from one, kind of did a, not a similar thing, but I sort of just stopped worrying about supporting people for the sake of getting their support back. And I just dropped right. it down to just supporting the people that I wanted to support. But obviously you mentioned that you were doing Overwatch. Like what was the precise moment? How did you get that wake up call where you were like, Overwatch just isn't working, like you needed to change something or you wanted to change something?
Yeah. Man, it's hard to like look back and know if there was a precise moment. I think there was a little bit of burnout, right? Like streaming 6 or 7 hours a night for a month, still working a 9-to-5 and not seeing a lot of growth. There was a level of impatience in me that was like, okay, this isn't going the way I want it to. So like, what can I do? But it was also like, there was already an awareness of like how YouTube kind of worked. And there was an awareness of how Twitch sort of worked. So it was more or less also like, do I pigeonhole myself into being just an Overwatch player, even if I do pick up and grow? And I think part of it was also knowing, part of it was also just knowing that like there were games that I wanted to play, but working a 9-to-5 and streaming just Overwatch all the time meant that I didn't get to play games, which was frustrating. And I know like at that time, I think Dark Souls 3 had just come out, or Bloodborne. It was one of the two. It was several years ago. And I was like, I got to play Bloodborne a little off stream, but I was like, I want to really play games that I want to play as well. And as much as I love Overwatch, I want to play things that I want to play. So it was kind of a cross section of impatience because Overwatch wasn't panning out numbers wise and stuff, but also I don't really have time to not play games that I want to play or that I'm interested in, especially when you work at Best Buy, right? And Best Buy is selling the new game or whatever, and everyone's getting excited, all your coworkers are excited. It's like, okay, well, I kind of want to play this. So it was a combination of things, but ultimately I didn't get to just play what I wanted. I ended up playing, you know, like, okay, Bloodborne's out. Bloodborne's really, really popular. Lots of big streamers playing it. So maybe I go back and I play Dark Souls before Bloodborne releases and I try Dark Souls 1. And does that community seem active? Yeah, it seems pretty active. There's not too many streamers in the directory, but most of them have several viewers. So maybe the community is looking to help new players. Like, just kind of trying my best to figure everything out. But yeah, I don't know if there was like a single moment where I was like, this sucks, I hate this, because as a game I still love Overwatch, but it was a combination of a lot of things, a little awareness and some impatience for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, things like another thing that I quite liked that you said is that you didn't want to, you know, work, you didn't want to live your life working 9-to-5 and you wanted to be your own boss. And you know, I completely understand that. I sort of have the exact same mindset. I'm a freelance photographer outside of Twitch, you know, so I do some photographs for local businesses and things. But it's all because I want to have, you know, I want to build up a business that has a good income, but I wanted to do it on my own terms. I wanted to, you know, I've sort of grown up in a household where, you know, my mum specifically is growing up you know, brought us up doing a night shift work, and I've never really got to spend much time with her. Like, she's always working, because my birthday is like 3 days before Christmas, so she's always working that night, so I've never really been able to spend a birthday with her. And like, I didn't want to put myself in a position, and I know it's a bit naive, but I didn't want to put myself in a position where, you know, I'd have kids because I'm engaged, and I didn't want to have kids, you know, down the line and be in a position where, you know, I can't spend time with my kids. So that, coupled with the fact that I just enjoy being my own boss and I enjoy pushing myself and things, it was like, it was, yeah, it really resonated with me when you said that. But so let's talk about sort of your path, if you like. So talk about what year was it when you discovered Twitch?
Oh man. I want to say that I first kind of heard about Twitch in like 2015. Yeah, that sounds right-ish. Like, I heard about it, and at the time my cohort was like, yo, we should try to do some live content. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really. So I didn't do anything about it. I didn't really actually start Twitch until 2016. So I've been on the platform for about 3 years now, 3 years, I think, probably. My daughter was born in July. So I remember streaming a lot when she was born. So probably June, July is my like 3 years total that I've been on the platform.
Is that 3 years full time, or when did you decide to go full time?
I went full time last year. It was last May, very early May. So about last May. I've been partnered since April of last year. Last year I was working a different 9-to-5. I got partnered. It was great. I was making as much money as on Twitch as I was at my job. So I was like, I hated my job at the time, which, don't do what I did, kids, but my job was terrible. My bosses, my upper management was absolutely terrible. They were not kind people. I had frequent anxiety attacks. So I put in my 2 weeks, like a week after I got Twitch partnered, I was like, cool, I have emotes, the community and I are going to celebrate. Like, I'm making enough money. I've been making enough money for a few months to be able to supplement like this job. And so I went for it, and so I put in my 2 weeks notice at my job, and they like fired me on the spot. And I've been full time ever since. So it's been a good year of full time streaming. 3 years total, 1 year partnered and full time. Yeah,
that's I know you can sort of laugh at it now because it's in the past, but, and I know I shouldn't be laughing, but I find it funny in my head how you take your 2 week notice and you're like, hey, boss and bossette, here's my 2 week notice. I'm gonna work for 2 weeks. I'm gonna be nice, and then they turn around. They're like, "No, just bugger off. Just leave.
Don't come back." Yeah, it was definitely strange. It felt like very spiteful, but it worked out for the best, I guess. So here we are.
And I know we've sort of spoken about the sort of games that you played and Dark Souls and things, but what was like the main game that you were like hammering when you were trying to hammer out that partnership?
It was Warframe. Yeah, it was definitely Warframe. I went to TwitchCon in 2017. It was my second ever convention, my first TwitchCon, and Warframe had a booth. And I'd heard of the game. A lot of friends played the game. It looked super cool. And I was like, that looks awesome. And somebody was like, yeah, they accept partners. Like you could be partnered with the game. And I was like, okay. So I played the game. At the time I'd been playing the game a little bit. Like, I was still very new. I'd been playing for like a month. I come back from TwitchCon. It's still like, it's very early November. So I play the rest of November, like hammered that game out. And it was like late November, like the last few days of November or December, early December. And I had applied for a Warframe partner, and they accepted me. So, I just kept playing Warframe because I kept finding that I was growing quite a lot through that community. I went, you know, from like 30 average concurrent to in May, when I was, you know, going for Twitch partner, I had like 90. The community was obviously growing, and something about me resonated with a lot of people. So that's, I played only that game, I think, entirely for 7-8 months. And that continued all the way into November of 2018. So it was November 2017 and November of 2018 was just like almost all Warframe all the time. It was a long year.
No, but that's kind of cool, though, because you're sort of saying that, like, you sort of, not genre'd down, but you, like, gamed. I don't even know if it's a real term, but you like gamed down. You like, you know, you let me think about the correct way to English here. So you like batten down the hatches on one game, which I know some people like to do, others don't.
Yeah.
But that was like your thing that you like, you know, helped you build up that. Obviously, you already had that community established through, you know, streaming previously, but you like really built it up there. Like, did you like purposefully, like, I know there's a lot of negative connotation with this, so I have to be careful, but did you like partner push, or did you just play the game and they just sort of came through, you know, just being, you know, genuine interaction and that sort of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We partner pushed, but it's hard to, cause I don't remember that period very well. We did partner push. There's no doubt about that. I don't know how much it was advertised on Twitter. I think, the community was aware. Everybody was aware of like, hey, as I applied, you know, the first time I applied, we got turned down, because I was on front page for a charity event and our numbers were inflated. Our numbers were all, we had like 3,000 viewers on front page. So it threw my whole month out of whack and they were like, no, hold on. You can't, that's not how this works. The second time we applied, we were hitting it and I told everyone I expected nothing, actually, which is really interesting. I expected to apply and be declined again. So the second time I didn't really push. I wasn't really pushing. Everyone was aware and I was excited about the numbers, and admittedly I looked at the numbers too much. But the second time I applied, which is when we got accepted, was kind of surprising. Like, I checked my email at work one day and I was like, excuse me. I didn't have emotes ready. I had nothing ready. I did not expect it at all. So there was like, we knew where our numbers were, but we only maybe made like 2 tweets, or we weren't really trying to, because we didn't want to get a bunch of support that then left us after the partnership, right? So we weren't trying to like overinflate too hard.
I mean, you mentioned that you like, that, well, you admitted that you sort of, you know, you looked at numbers a little bit too much. Would you say that was like, that was negative for you at the time, or like looking back at it?
Yeah, I mean, like, when you put so much stress on like a number value, like, and around the Twitch partnership time is when like I had to reevaluate all of this. But like, when I turned on stream, I was like, I hope we can hit 75 average tonight, instead of just being like, let's have a good night. And so like, if I were at, you know, in an hour, 2 hours, if we only had like 60 average, right, then it's just like, okay, like, I hope, you know, I hope tonight picks up. And then, you know, if you get hosted or rated and you get like, you know, 70 more people in your chat, then you stay the extra 2 hours to make up for the slow beginning and stuff like that. Like, you try to, I put so much emphasis that I was trying to offset the slow times. And so I started setting expectations that were numerically based, instead of having an expectation that I could control, which was, I'm going to try to have a good time and like have fun. And so yeah, of course. Yeah, that was very negative. It was super bad. It was not healthy. Never do that. So it definitely put me in a weird rut. There was also, I mean, it's the same as like, a lot of people do this, but I was pushing, I was being so aware of Twitch Partner. Like, Twitch Partner was like the shiny, you made it kind of moment, that once I did get Twitch Partner, I had no idea what I was doing with my future. I had no goals. I made it, I did it, and I had no idea what was happening next. And that was hugely problematic for like the future after the partnership. So yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
I mean, yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good.
It's just like, you know, everybody, I think everybody does that, you know, like they, especially since Twitch added the 75, and we've spoken about this quite a lot recently, but ever since Twitch added the 75 average viewer achievement in order to apply, like, partnership has become so gamified that literally, I feel like a lot of people now, obviously not talking about anybody in particular, but it feels like a lot of people will determine the success of a stream by numbers rather than the fun that they had and, you know, the sort of the engagement that they got with their community. And it's I was in the same trap, so I don't want to sit here and be, you know, like a
like holier than thou or anything. It's you know, and again, me and Ashney are like very, very close friends, and so we had this conversation. And when I was at her panel over the weekend, you know, the thing for her when it comes to teaching about Twitch, and she's sort of melding into something different, is that it's not, you know, you could do all the things right, you know, all the play the right games at the right time, get hosted, but ultimately, the thing that's going to propel you forward through the rough times is the thing behind the thing, which is, you know, the question. So at the time, I was just trying to get partner. Like, I just wanted to make it my job and that was it. But now that I have a message, a story, a purpose behind it, right? So for me, it's mental health. It's helping people. As you know, if I, because I, there are a lot of days where I don't hit partnership requirements anymore. I have like between 60 to 80 viewers. And since it's summertime, I have like 80 to 100. So it's a little bit better. It'll dip again when school starts. It's what happens. But it's one of those things where the numbers literally don't matter. Like, yes, a paycheck is nice, so I have to check and be sure we're growing. And if not, I have to innovate a little bit. But aside from that, knowing that I have a message and that I'm helping people, that I'm providing something, and that, you know, like that interaction, it takes the weight off the numbers and it puts the weight on the mission, which I can always feel good about because there's always good feedback there. So it's a different sort of thing. And I think everybody should have a mission when they stream and not just make it about numbers, but put the pressure on, you know, fun or an objective or again, a mission. It just makes it so much easier to get through the tough times and not put so much weight on something that's completely out of your control, because numbers are so far out of your control.
Yeah, that really is a powerful message, you know. So it's like, I think we could all sort of learn, not necessarily learn a thing or two, but, you know, ground ourselves a little bit by just reminding ourselves that numbers are completely out of our control. And, you know, because we all face hard times. We've all faced them. We're all going to face them again at some point in our future. And, you know, you've just got to push. Like you said, if you've got that, you know, that mission, that sort of core purpose and that value that you want to deliver, then you're going to be able to pull through the hard times because you know what value you want to deliver. Yeah, that definitely something to be learnt in there. Now, I don't want to be sound like I'm contradicting ourselves, but obviously we don't want to, we sit here and say, you know, don't focus too hard on numbers, but I want to take this opportunity to just, you know, talk about your numbers, where they're at now, and obviously big congratulations to you on 14,000 followers on Twitch, by the way. That's a dreamy amount of
I always forget about how many followers I have, because at some point, like, it stops, like, it doesn't matter. It sounds, which sounds weird, but yeah, it's so strange. Sorry, you complete your thought if you have.
So obviously, big congratulations on that.
Yes.
So obviously, you've kind of already answered the question that I'm going to ask in that last statement that you made. But
sure,
obviously, you hit partnership, and that's where you're at now. You've got 14,000 followers, and right now, we were speaking about just before we started doing the podcast how you are now at that point where you're trying to innovate your content career as a whole by expanding your purpose onto like multiple platforms. Now, obviously, you've got a following on Twitch and you've got a good following on other platforms. I know you mentioned Instagram, we'll talk about that, but tell us a little bit, you know, coming from your past into your present now, tell us a little bit about what you're doing in terms of your actual career, like right now, like how are you utilizing Twitter? How, like, and one thing I am interested to get your insight on is Instagram, because I started an Instagram for this channel and for my brand, but I kind of felt like Instagram was kind of not really a strong platform for streamers yeah. as a brand, unless if you're posting like Fortnite clips or something like that. Like, so I'd yeah. love to hear what your sort of how you're utilizing that and, you know, to grow your brand.
Yeah, it's I don't know what I'm doing. That's step one. I have no idea. I think that's the best part. What I'm doing is very unique, I think. The mental health conversation. And if anyone was on Twitter this weekend, people got very mad at me, and there was a lot of like character assassination because of a route that I want to try to take that is unpaved for the most part. It requires some rethinking and some retooling of some ideas that are in the right spot, but the practicality of it's still a little flawed. But I don't want Twitch to be my job. I love Twitch, but the paychecks are inconsistent. And the biggest thing that I find right now is like burn me at the stake for this, but I want to make more money because I live so paycheck to paycheck right now. For me, I'm diversifying my content to grow, but I also would like to find ways to innovate, to work with brands, and to pull people into the stream, continue growing the stream. I don't want Twitch to like go away, but making your money strictly off Twitch means that you are at the mercy of numbers. You're at the mercy of school season or Christmas time, or like it's seasonal. So we're doing a lot of things right now to alleviate that, but also to get content into people's hands in a deliverable way that works on their timetable. So we're doing YouTube videos. We have 3 YouTube videos out, and we're now releasing a video every single Monday. I record, I script, record, and edit these videos all entirely myself. It sucks, but I love it. But these are videos we do. Mental Health Mondays is basically the idea. So every Monday, we're going to have one podcast that comes out. The podcast is recorded live. It's a call-in show where people can call in and they can discuss what's going on in their life with their mental health. They can discuss, you know, a recent breakthrough they've had, a bad breakup. They can also give their own wisdom and talk about what's going on in that way. And then we throw that on Anchor, and we're running a lot of this stuff through Patreon. Again, the idea is to diversify content. If somebody, because I stream in the mornings, right? So if someone's driving to work, maybe they could pop in the podcast. If they're sitting on lunch break at work, maybe they can put on our newest video about imposter syndrome, right? So the idea is that we're diversifying content. It's hard for me to feel like I'm saying I can, like, I truly want to help people get in a better spot, because me, you know, last year to this year, I'm a different person. I'm a healthier person. I have confidence in myself. I'm not cynical about the success of others. I love seeing people succeed. In fact, I want people to succeed now. I want to help them get there. I want them to be bigger than me. And it's such a paradigm shift for me. But it's hard for me to feel like I'm truly living that statement if I'm not putting out content in every potential facet that I can to get them to that point. We have a Patreon. We have a show that's exclusive to Patreon, where instead of doing a journal, like, you know, you journal and at the end of the day and you write your thoughts out and stuff like that, it's literally a video journal. It's just me doing what I would do for my journal, but doing it out loud. So I'm trying to give some resources that are paid and some resources where people can support. And it's very difficult to do all that. Ultimately, it's because I would like to make enough money to be able to throw at charities, or to be able to buy my friend a new camera for his stream setup, or to be able to, you know, I don't know, like afford more than just Taco Bell. Yeah. So, but I also want to put content and resources and put that into people's hands and empower them to have a different perspective. In terms of Instagram, I, again, have no idea what I'm doing. Instagram is awesome. It's so hard to grow. So Instagram, I look at Instagram as the behind the scenes, right? If people love you as a person, not as a brand, but as a person, they go to Instagram, right? They go to the Insta stories. The posts are good, but people, I live for Insta stories. Like, I get in there and see, like, what are you doing on the daily? Did you get your hair cut? Okay, I want to see that. You know, did you find some new lipstick? All right, you crushing it. I want to know like the people behind the brand, because I think there's this interesting and me and Ash got to talk about this, but like vlogs don't exist on Twitch. Like you can get on YouTube and watch somebody vlog and see their behind the scenes, see how they wake up, see. That's like Instagram now. Like Instagram is a vlog in a weird way, and people like to see the behind the scenes. It's very strange. But it is hard to grow if you're just using Instagram stories, and that's it's a slow growth process, I feel like. As you start to grow on like other platforms, that parlays into Instagram, but I don't know that you can grow on Instagram and parlay that to other platforms. I don't know if there are studies that could back that up. It'd be an interesting thing to look at, but it's the behind the scenes. It's the different perspectives. It's the raw reality of who people are and things like that. And that's why my Instagram remains very positive and uplifting, but also very grounded. It's not produced a lot or anything like that. So it's very interesting. How to grow it. I don't know. Grow everything else. And then it happens. yeah, like there's a lot, you know, like when I got sponsored by MeUndies, the big thing was like, you know, I put a picture of my butt on my Instagram and everyone, you know, and then people came over to Instagram. And so I put things that are exclusive to Instagram on there, and people that care enough about me and my brand as it grows will want to go over there. But it's a slow burn compared to Twitter. They definitely serve their different purposes, but yeah, I think it definitely supplements that YouTube vlog culture that we all want. I think is what makes Instagram special.
I actually didn't think of Instagram in that way. I did, like, I've always been that guy where if I'm invested in somebody, then I'll watch their stories. But because I've followed a lot, and I think this is my issue on my end, but because I've followed a lot of people that I'm not invested in, but I just sort of followed them because I know their name, then yeah. I have like all these stories where I just end up swiping all the time because I'm not bothered about their stories. But there's like, you know, a handful of people where I'm actually watching their stories to see what they're up to. But I've never actually considered in my head that it would be a good tool to use as like a BTS type vlog platform. And I wonder if you were to just use stories and then make the... like the odd post that, like, well, I mean, like you said, actually, I was about to say the question, oh, I wonder how you'd actually grow that. But I think, like you said, you grow that as you grow everything else. So maybe if you are listening to this podcast and you're thinking, oh, how could I grow my my Instagram? Then maybe the question to ask yourself isn't how you grow it, but how you grow everything else and get people over to your Instagram would probably be a better way to look at it. Apparently posting pictures of your butt works.
Butt pics, body positivity, no matter what you look like, always works. Yeah, and I think when it comes to Instagram as well, like hashtags are important. We all hate hashtags. Like, it's ridiculous, but that's somehow why people find me through hashtags sometimes. You can do that, but other than that, it's like up to the fate of the universe and analytics. If you really want to get in there, analytics are like, you could get into what's the most searched hashtags and all that kind of stuff. There's some minutia there. It's very similar to Twitter in that way, but yeah, I think my Instagram is also very much like more special, and I follow fewer people so that, cause I do care about the stories and I don't want to follow a bunch of people's stories that I don't care about. So that's, I keep mine tight for that reason.
I mean, yeah, I think I need to clean up my my Instagram.
We could all do. Yeah, I had to clean up my Twitter recently too, so I don't feel bad. It happens.
but I find myself saying this not because I want to, you know, try and put myself in a similar position as you, but just because of how much I resonate with what you've said. But again, we have very similar desires of our content. You know, I want to expand my brand out from, I've never, ever, ever wanted to be just a Twitch streamer. Like, sure. I couldn't, no offense to anybody that wants to be, but I could not imagine a more secluded lifestyle than turning on your PC every day and just turning on the PC and just playing video games for like 8 hours a day, because you have to, because that's your only platform of income. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure maybe me 5 years ago would have loved that, but now
we're a little jaded.
Like, I've hit a very similar point, and that's why I've started the YouTube videos again, because, like I said, I used to be a Minecraft YouTuber. I've renamed the channel, because you can do that now. I've renamed the channel, so I've still got a channel with, like, you know, 3,500 dead subscribers that are completely inactive, but, you know, it gives me a starting point. And now I want to get these videos out. Obviously, the podcast's been going for so long. So I completely just, like, I see so much of my own goals and, you know, aspirations in what you're doing and what you've done, in terms of, like, you want more money to throw at charities and to throw at people. I want to earn more money so that my fiance can not necessarily quit her job, but so she can, you know,
work less
and become her dream. So, yes, just quickly, Ashley's dreams, ever since we met, her dreams was to get married and have a husband. You know, we're engaged, so I'm 50% there.
Step one, yeah, there you go.
And she wanted to have kids, and she wants to have some animals. I mean, she has a horse, but she just wants to be, she just wants to have a happy family. So my goal, you know, whenever, there is no end to this, it's going to be for the rest of my life, hopefully, but my goal is to earn enough money so that I can throw, you know, a few spare pennies at a holiday, maybe once a year or twice a year. But I'm not bothered about earning, you know, I know a lot of content creators go on YouTube to earn, like, you know, like 50, you know, like 50 grand a month plus. Like, if I did, that'd be great, but I don't care about that. I just care about making enough to give Ashley everything that she wants, and to be able to afford to just do the things that we want. So, you know, that's what I'm working for right now. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, building this up. And she works full time at the moment, and she's given me the opportunity to do this. So I am literally spending every waking minute
making it happen.
Yeah, making it happen. Always thinking about the next. I mean, I was on holiday in Scotland last week. This week just gone. And I literally spent the entire week on Twitter, obviously, to keep my engagement up on Twitter, even though I ended up losing followers for some reason. But to keep my Twitter active, and then I just spent the whole week, obviously, relaxing and enjoying the time with Ashley, but thinking about ideas, and now I've come back and I've got all these video ideas and things. So I just didn't expect to sort of, you know, everybody's journey on Twitch is different. I'm sure you can agree with that, but obviously, not knowing you as much as I've known, you know, many other guests and things like Ashley. Obviously, I'm in Ashley's stream team and all that. But I feel you. I feel you.
We're on the same. It's for me. When I look towards my future of, like, what I want to accomplish in my life, you know, I would love to have a wedding where I don't have to be like, that's too expensive, you know, but I would also like to, you know, it sounds crazy, but I want to build a school. Like, how ridiculous is that? Like, why can't we dream for stuff like that? You know, like, in my line of work with, like, mental health, right? Like, I'm not certified to be a therapist because it requires 6 years of a degree and hundreds of thousands of dollars that I'll never have. So, like, I would like to make a school that is funded so that kids don't have to pay obscene amounts to be somebody who wants to help people, right? So, like, that's my, when I'm 50 years old, kind of goal. But that requires me to actually make money somehow and, like, build an empire. And so that's, like, where my head's at. So, like, I, you know, it's admirable to want to, like, the pursuit of wealth isn't evil if your intentions are pure and you're going to use it for good things. So, man, like, kudos. And the thing I want to say is that we shouldn't tell ourselves we hope to get there. We're going to get there. We'll get there. But, you know, you just got to, you know, I could tell that you're hustling and you're building your empire. So kudos to you, you know?
Yeah. I was hoping something would just come out my mouth when you finished that, but I just sort of sat there and no, actually, what I did want to say is that you sort of, your end goal is to sort of be the Professor Xavier of
kind of. Yeah, I'll do that.
Sort of less privileged, if you like, or
Slightly less.
And I just, that's why I didn't know what to say, because you ended that and I just had this vision in my head of you, like, not necessarily in a wheelchair, but, you know, just like,
necessarily in a wheelchair, maybe, but who knows, right?
Just walking around the school of, like, being a professor and just being like, you know, well, not a school of mutants, but you get my point.
we all got a little mutant in us if we want to get really. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, that's the goal, man. That's, you know, where I want to be. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, wanting to attain our dreams, no matter, you know, what those are, as long as they're helping people. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, like, another issue with me personally lies with, obviously I've got this goal of wanting to, like, you know, create educational content in a way that, you know, incorporates other people's work and, you know, to spread a message and highlights other streamers. Like, right now is a great time to highlight you and your achievements and things. And, you know, my issue that I'm in right now is I'd love to do that, and that's what I want to focus on, but at the same time I still enjoy playing games and streaming games.
So, oh God, like, don't I know it.
So, like, my schedule right now is I do these podcasts on a Monday, and then on a Tuesday and a Friday, we play. I'm currently playing through Dark Souls 2 at the moment, even though,
yes,
it's taken me like 3 weeks and I'm only on the second boss. because I'm finding it quite difficult because I'm not used to that style of game. I've always been like a WoW player, and and I've always played games with like Trinsen in chat and a couple of other IRL friends. I tend to be that guy that will go and play Fortnite with them, PUBG, Apex, and that sort of thing, and I'll go and play with them. But obviously, I can't stream Apex. But anyway, so yeah, Dark Souls 2 is definitely a fun, weird adventure, and I am enjoying it, but it's just kind of like, I don't know if I'm that sort of guy where I don't know if everybody else is enjoying it, and, you know, I'm always kind of looking for gratification on whether or not other people are, you know, thankful for me, you know, playing it and sucking at it and, you know, trying not to get angry. And I think that's one thing that I have to work on, especially coming back into it now. Obviously, I've been on a sort of a three week hiatus slash
could be vacation. A slow build up coming back.
But I've had, you know, absolutely fantastic amount of support that have, you know, tuned in live right now to come and listen. So so let's not get too caught up on all of the sort of soppy lingo. Obviously, we have spoken quite a lot about your future, you know, wanting to build up an empire and stuff, but what is your immediate move right now personally to start building? Like, what are you feeling is like your next big move?
It's it's tough. Right now it's just ubiquitous content. With Twitch, I've been streaming for a long while and it's great and it's been growing for the most part, but diving back into YouTube and doing podcasts, the biggest thing for me is just putting content everywhere and promoting it appropriately and using analytics, and hopefully funneling it all through Patreon. I've done things like, I have never once in my life used a calendar until the past week and a half. You know, I have Evernote. I'm using Evernote to keep everything organized. I'm using different calendar systems to be sure that, like, I'm not overwhelming myself, because with my anxiety, it's really easy to think, oh, I haven't done this, this, and this, and start to really take on this overwhelming anxiety. But, you know, Monday is my day off of stream, so I'm streaming every day. Monday, I take the day and I literally just do social media. That's it. I have nothing on my calendar for that day. Tuesday, I, after stream, record a video for an hour. Saturday, I record the podcast live, and then I edit it and put it up. So, like, I have bricked off times to do things so that I know that I'm sticking to that and adhering to it well. But that's the biggest next step. I guess the step after that is to write a book. I'm working on an ebook of my own about mental health, my journey. And I think a lot of it's going to be about overcoming self-imposed obstacles and how to take ourselves down in an interesting way, because we tell ourselves we can't do things and that we never will become things. And that's ultimately what stops us, is that fear of trying and failing. So I'm gonna write a book on that, because I think that, you know, me from 10 years ago would be pretty proud that I went from filming skating to being my own boss, no matter how crushing the taxes of that is. So it's very, you know, that's the next step, is an ebook, which will be out in July. But yeah, just all hands on deck for this content creation. I want to get to a point where I can hire an editor, which I can't afford. I want to get to a point to where I can have a team to help me assemble all of this. If you go to my Patreon says I'm running a content production company. That's what I want to get to. So it's just, that's the next step, is growing that, so that as money comes in, I could spend that on growing a team that can produce more content, including books and more merch and things like that. So, yeah. And it's terrifying, but it's worth it. So those are the next steps, is by July, a book, and hopefully paying somebody to help out with all this work we're doing. So,
I mean, that is obviously, you know, just great to want to start, you know, getting the book out there and things, you know, working more on social media, which you've got for, you know, an entire day sort of scheduled for, time off scheduled for. Just quickly before we continue, I should have asked this way earlier, but I heard that you said that you stream. Did you say you streamed every day apart from Monday?
Yep, 6 days a week.
And how I should have asked this a lot earlier, but how does that pan out for you at the moment? Because obviously, you knowing Ashley Christ, you know, many a people would say, well, you shouldn't stream 6 days a week. Obviously, you have the established audience for it, so obviously, sure, you don't really want to be paying attention to that like much. But like tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. We originally used to stream at night, and we would stream 5 nights a week, and we'd stream like 8 hours a night. And it was fun. It was nice. But what we found out was that with our mental health conversation, we're actually hitting a demographic of audience that usually goes to bed by like 11 at night. I would stream to like 2 a.m. Right. So we found a lot of people falling asleep, going to bed, going to school in the next morning. So they got to get rested. So, we did a split schedule, some in the morning, like 4 hours in the morning and 4 hours at night. And that was neat. But then we just transitioned to the morning times. And the morning times are interesting because they're not as mentally taxing as you would say. I don't stream as much as I stream, to hope for growth. Cause I do believe in what Ashney says of creating this supply and demand. The less frequently you are around and available, the more people will want to show up to see you when you are around. I think that there's proof in that. I think that there's some validity there. Absolutely. However, Ashney, also has a very unique, capability of like, Twitch isn't necessarily like her bread and butter right now. She has so many other things going on that she actually, it's better for her to only be live a few times a week and for, you know, 4 to 5 hours. It's that works for her. The idea for me is to get to that point. I'm doing 6 days a week, but I'm only doing 5.5 to 6 hour streams. So we're not doing the full 8 hours. We're not doing 9 hours. We're cutting back hours to do lengthier or more days. So I start at 10 in the morning, my time, and I'll go to 3, maybe 4 in the afternoon. And then I still have 7 or 8 hours in the day to do whatever I want, and schedule that out with, you know, scripting or videos or whatever. Or some days I literally just get to play games or watch Game of Thrones or do whatever. So, I still leave myself enough mental recharge time, and I'm so passionate about what we do in the mornings during our streams that it's not really ever a taxing thing for me. For me personally, I stream about 2 hours of just chatting. So, we start streaming, we just talk and we hang out. How's your morning? We sip on some coffee. We have some nice, chill, relaxed music and we just kind of hang out. It's not a big deal. And then, you know, we'll play games for 3, maybe 4 hours. So it's 4 hours of like gameplay. So I'm not burnt out on gaming or anything like that. Saturdays and Sundays we draw. So we'll do like an hour of just chatting. And then I sit and I draw like traditional graphite, pen and paper drawings for a few hours. And so it's diverse enough in the way that we handle the content that it's not too taxing. I don't go live and just play games for 6 hours for 6 days, because that would suck. I would not want to do that. So we switch it up enough so that, like, I'm never stagnant, I'm never bored, we're keeping it fresh, and it doesn't burn me out. Eventually, yes, would I like to get to streaming 6 hours a day for 4 days a week? Absolutely. But we have to get to the point of being able to offset monetary compensation elsewhere before I feel like that change is even worth it. Because as of right now, it's risky, and it's not worth the risk as of right now. So,
yes, obviously, you know, like you said, like going live and just streaming games for like that many hours every day would indeed be quite taxing.
I've done it, yeah.
But I wish I had the balls to do daytime streams, because it would make my life so much better.
But it's hard, yeah.
I'm so
sad. I had to rebuild a bit, you know. Yeah, I lost a lot of people that can't make it, so I get why people don't, you know.
Like, I've done the same set schedule for like almost about 8 or 9 months now, where I just kind of feel like, you know, I'm set in stone. And then there's some nights where I feel like I probably would have been better off streaming during the day, because I've become quite sort of tired on the evening and things, because I've done a fair bit during the day, and it would have probably been better to do it like the reverse way around, so stream during the day then do the rest of the stuff in the night. But it works at the moment, so it's fine. But I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up by talking a little bit about your sort of advice on what you'd give, you know, streamers and people to your community, your friends, if they are, you know, not just looking to get into streaming, but if you try and cover, you know, quite broadly cover all ranges. So if somebody's been streaming and they're struggling to grow, like, what sort of advice would you give to, like, those sort of people?
Yeah, it's such a mixed bag. When it comes down to it, I have personally grown, and I resonate as a viewer with other broadcasters who have a story and who are people. It's a unique take, but the biggest thing is, if you're doing YouTube or a podcast or streaming, when it comes to growing, there's a lot of it that's right time, right place, game directory, who you know, how you use your Twitter. There's a lot of that stuff, but ultimately none of that matters, I don't think, if you don't have a story, if you don't have a purpose, which is difficult because not everybody can have this big like mental health thing or coaching thing. Sometimes people are just people that want to do something for fun. But I know personally, I connect with people. Like, people get on Twitch, like they could do a number of things, but people get on Twitch and actively engage or actively lurk because people want people. People like people. So even if somebody's like, nah, I'm not going to watch you because you're playing a game I'm not super into, they're not gone forever. They're probably going to pop back in like 3 months or 4 months, or they might move on to another broadcaster because they connect with that broadcaster at that point in their life. But people seek people. And I think that being a person, being vulnerable, being real, talking about your life experiences and really like bonding with communities ultimately will always gain you, like, it may take time, but you'll always come out the other side better for it, and you'll always grow that way. In my opinion, there are wonderful videos. You seem to be culminating a group of individuals to talk about their experiences and how they grew. And then, of course, Ashni is a phenomenal resource, both analytically and from a personal perspective about growth and how to achieve that tangibly. So there's all kinds of resources, and I'm not going to sit and talk about all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I think the core value that I've always taken away, and when I was a skateboarder and I made that YouTube channel, people connected and resonated with me and what I was going through and like my personality. And when I started doing Let's Play videos that were, you know, devoid of personality, people didn't care. And then when I came to Twitch and started putting my personality back out there, people started caring again. So there's credence to the idea that we're people looking for people, and Twitch makes it easy because it's like, oh, well, I like Dead by Daylight, so I'm going to find a person or a few people in here that I also like. And that's ultimately, I think, why people get on Twitch. And so like don't like use that, but be, just be you, like be yourself. So many people get like caught up about like saying the right thing, doing the right thing, like being vulnerable and being you. And there are techniques we should learn and skills, learning to talk to ourselves and narrate our gameplay, so we're not, you know, open mouth puffer fish, just blindly staring at our screens. But I think that ultimately we should do more to just connect with people. And if you do that, and if you have a message and a mission and a story, then you're going to crush it and you're going to be fine. It just takes a little bit of time after that. So
when you said about, you know, being open mouth puffer fish, just staring at the screen, I realized that I was just staring at my screen and listening. So I was like,
you're like, close your mouth and you're like, oh, sorry.
I'm feeling a little bit called out right now.
I mean, look, we've all been there. I've been that person that's just like, even now I'll catch myself doing it. I'm playing The Witcher 3 on like the hardest difficulty. So I'm sitting there like trying not to die. And I'm like, hold on, chat. I promise I'm not ignoring you, but this is really difficult, you know? So it's just, you know, we all do that. But you know, there's stuff like that to do and work on, but those are all things that we can learn. I think the hidden secret, the special sauce, if you will, is being a person. So
yeah, my issue is especially when I'm doing the podcast is I'll sit and I'm sort of doing it now to exaggerate it, but I'll sit and I'll play with the front of my beard and I'll stroke it and pull it down. And just whilst I'm listening, and it's funny because my dad actually watches my streams, and he says he's my biggest fan, but he's my biggest critic. And every time I go live, I probably don't today because I think he's busy, but usually I'll have a message on Messenger that will literally just say, "Stop playing with your effing beard."
That's like your signature thing, though. Just you know, turn that to an alert of its own.
Do you know what? That's not actually a bad shout. I might just do that. I might have to get my dad get my dad to send me a voice message saying, "Stop playing with your damn beard," and just make it like a, I don't know, some sort of
maybe make an alert, donation alert, $5 or a sub alert. Yeah, there you go. That's a great, use that idea.
This is why we do podcasts, folks, to steal people's ideas.
there it is. Nailed it.
But yeah, anyway, we've pretty much gotten, I mean, is there any part of your journey that you feel we may have like overlooked that you wanted to maybe touch upon, or have we sort of covered it all?
Yeah, I mean, we covered everything. The only like closing statement I have is just like, man, if you like have a dream, it could take 10 years, but like, it's so wild to think 10 years ago, like what I was doing and how like my dream has changed and like what I wanted to do changed over time. But I'm super glad to be where I am. But I'm also like very much glad to keep pushing forward. And I think everybody deserves that chance to pursue that dream and never give up and push through the negativity that you may tell yourself. So it's difficult. It's arduous. It's tedious, but it's 100% worth it. So in my journey, you know, starting at like skateboarding and then the adversity of like an attempted suicide and the adversity of going through therapy and finding myself and all of that, you know, I have a daughter now and all this, like life is just 100% different, but I wouldn't change any of that for the world. I just think it's just remind yourself that like, you can't predict the future, just run at it. Like just chase it, always chase it. It's worth it.
So where can all the lovely listeners find you at?
So people can find me at gooperatives.com. We do have a website. That's where most of our content is. You can find our Twitch, our YouTube. You could find our podcasts there. If you want to do things a little bit more in a breadcrumb manner, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch at gooperatives, twitch.tv/gooperatives, Twitter at gooperatives, Instagram at gooperatives, anchor.fm/mentalhealthmondays if you guys want to take a gander at our mental health podcast that we just started, and then of course our YouTube is youtube.com/gooperatives mhm, because YouTube's really weird when it comes to naming channels now. So, but basically, if you Google Go Operatives, you'll find me everywhere. So,
well, that's great. Thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully, you'll have a short amount of time just to answer any questions in the live comments over on Twitch. But yeah, thank you so much for spending your time, giving us your giving us your journey. It's been absolutely amazing, and I'm happy that we actually have so many similarities. You know, well, you never know. We may become BFFs yet. You never know.
We basically are. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where this yet is coming from. I'm one of those people that, like, if I believe in what you're doing, then, you know, whether we speak once a week or once a year, like, I've got your back. And if you need anything, the DMs are always open. Retweets, you know, if you want to collaborate on videos, like, I have no problem. I'm not a selfish person in that way. So, yeah, it's we're best friends. It's fine. You could tell the world, not that anyone cares about me like that, but absolutely 100% we're this won't be the last time you'll see me around here.
you know I'm gonna clip that and put that on Twitter, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll retweet that. Yeah, I already made that promise. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast, guys. For a heap ton more rewards, head over to patreon.com/TheMikeJames. If you'd like to catch this show live, head over to twitch.tv/TheMikeJames as well. I hope to see you guys there. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you guys next time.